meant to be sad. What it's meant to do is give you an idea of eternal life, where we're headed. Once you give your life to Christ, they're the only scars in heaven are the hands that hold you. And we know that any of our loved ones that have gone before us, they're already there. There's no hurt, there's no pain, and that's what we have to look forward to. But I think for me, the other thing is I don't really have to fight off Satan anymore. Because he's going to stay here. I'm not. I'm going to go somewhere else. So anyway, that had a really good story. I liked it, and I wanted to share that with you. Communion. Communion is in front of you. There's two parts to it. The top part is the bread, the wafer, and the bottom part is the juice that represents the wine that Jesus shared with his disciples. The disciples started out as common fishermen. I mean, they were rough around the edges. Some of them were conniving. Some of them made deals behind closed doors. They weren't necessarily right. And what happened is Jesus chose those people. There we go. Jesus chose those people that he could make righteous. And that he could show them the way. And it didn't matter their past. What mattered was their future and where they were going. And that's what Jesus, I believe, wanted to get through to them and to us. It's not what's going on here, but what we're doing here is going to pave our way to what happens in eternal life. And he wants us to remember what he did for us. And that night, everything he did, he made a point. It was the Passover meal. It was also the first communion that ever happened. And he took the bread, and when he had broke it, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Because his body and his blood was separated when he was crucified. He knew where he was going, and he knew what he was going to do. And the thing is he loved unequivocally. No matter what, he knew what Judas was going to do that night. And he even told him that. He said, "Go do what you need to do." I understand. He never lost his temper with Judas. He loved him right to the end. And then what he did was he took the wine and he blessed them in the same way, holding it to heaven. And he said, "Take, drink. This is my blood shed for you for the new covenant and for the forgiveness of your sin." Takes your offerings to keep the church going, to get the grass mowed, to water, to keep the lights on. So it does take your offerings for us to be able to reach out to other people, to be here for those who need us. There are so many people out there right now that are searching for Christ, and the thing is some of them don't realize who they're searching for. There are actually people in the United States that have never heard about Christ. You have, and some of them also look to us, to what a Christian is like. So kind of think about that also when we're out and about. I can just sit here and listen to this music. It's, of course, it's piano music. But let's get on with this. I'll reach out for July. We've been kind of remiss on this. If there's anyone that needs help, anyone that you know that needs help, please let us know so we can reach out to them. We've reached out to several people who have not gotten back to us. Because Romans 12:13 tells us, share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Let's bring this a little bit closer to home. Let's bring this back to us. Popcorn. I don't know if you've ever thought about popcorn. I don't know if you've ever watched it happen. Popcorn, they're normally fried in the same pot. Throw it all in there. It's all in the same oil. And at the same time. And under the same heat conditions, but they don't all pop at the same time. And that's kind of what happens with us. We can all be put in the same environment, everything thrown together, but not everybody comes to Christ at the same time. And not everybody is on the same, at the same place on that road with Christ. And some people will pop in, and some people it takes a little bit longer. But in the end, you've got some really cool jiffy popcorn. So the thing is, keep trusting in God and waiting for your turn. Your time to pop will come if it hasn't felt like it has, but it will come in God's appointed time. And I don't know about you, but I want God to make it happen right now. That was a joke. And God does the same thing. He just kind of sits there and goes, are you serious? It'll happen when I say it's going to happen. Because sometimes I forget he's the one in charge. Oh, I like this picture from last week, so I kept it. And I want to talk about hope. You know, it seems like time is going by so fast. They say it's because of age, especially when it comes to someone like me, but I don't believe it. Last week, Jim talked about finding your purpose. 2 weeks ago, I talked about the voices that we hear in our head. Those things trying to guide us. The things making us angry, the things that want to take control over our lives. They try to send us down a certain road. But 3 weeks ago, I talked about independence. Independence from all of these things trying to control our lives. So how do we get there? How do we maintain independence? First off, the first thing that we need to do is we need to declare independence. We need to declare independence from those things. I will no longer do this. I am done doing this. Sometimes it's out loud. Sometimes we have to say it. Sometimes we have to shout it. Get it from in here to out there. Sometimes we have to write those things down. We declare independence. Then the next thing we do is we have to determine where our orders are coming from. What is our guidance? What are we listening to? What are we taking action on that we are hearing? And finally, the one thing that we have to do is we always have to be seeking our purpose. What is our purpose in life? And what I found is that there's different purposes in life. There's purposes that are life-driven. What am I going to do with my life? Where am I going to be with my life? And then there's other things that maybe or that are task-driven. What's my purpose with this task? What's my purpose with this short run? And does it fit into my overall life purpose? Or is this just something along the way? Putting all of these things together helps us get good guidance and direction. But there's other things that go on also in our life, and I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. Things that we need to take a close look at. I'm reading an interesting book by Mark Eubank, and in it he says that Satan, of course, is very cunning. He's very skillful. He's not smart. It's just that he's been doing what he's been doing for thousands of years. He just knows how to do them well. But that doesn't mean he's any smarter than we are. Because we gave our life to Christ. So anyway, the other thing that he said that we have to watch out for is that Satan is going to do two things. The first thing is he's going to tempt you with something. He's going to tempt you with something that he knows you want. He knows that you will covet. And then after you take that, if it's not righteous, he's going to convict you of it. He's going to come right back around and say, oh, yeah, you know, you kept that extra money, or you took advantage of this person, or you took advantage of your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's husband. Now I'm going to convict you for it. It kind of seems backwards. It kind of seems abnormal that that would happen, but that's what Satan does. He puts those things in front of us. And that's where the first movement comes in. How are you going to deal when those temptations come in front of you? Because what I've seen, the first thing that happens is that you get a picture of it. And what are you going to do with that picture, that first thought that you have? Because pretty soon that picture goes into a photo album. And pretty soon that photo album goes into a movie. And next thing is, you've got this movie playing in your head that it's okay. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's alcohol. It's okay to do those things because you put yourself in the good light. You think everything is going to be okay. And then after you do it because you think it's okay, you've seen the movie 100 times in your head because you didn't deal with it the first time when you saw the first picture. You didn't say, no, that's not what the Word says. Boy, this looks like a nice road to go down. And then he throws it back in your face. We weren't supposed to do that, were we? We can't forget that during these times of struggle, we are covered with the blood of Jesus. All those cracks, all those little things, those openings for the evil one and all of his demons to get in are covered in the blood of Jesus. If you've given your life to Christ. And you believe. Because that's the other thing that we have to do is we have to believe. We have to believe that this is the word of our sovereign God. Not that these are some words and some events that happened. And let me tell you what Jesus did. But you have to believe that it happened. You have to believe Jesus gave his life for you. The thing is that Satan will continue looking for those cracks. He's going to continue looking for those ways to get into your heart and in your soul. So what do you do when you find yourself in the middle of a battle? In the middle of a battle with the evil one? What do you look for when things start going wrong? I ask these things not necessarily to scare you, but to prepare you. Like the things that we've talked about over the last few weeks. If you know what your purpose is, you'll be focused. And you'll stay focused on that. And you'll keep a relationship with God. And you'll move in that direction. And he'll open doors and pave streets for you so you can get to that purpose. As long as it's Christ's purpose. I don't want to scare you, but I want to prepare you for things that will come. Sometimes they'll even come on a daily basis. Sometimes they will come after us. And when you feel things coming, when you feel things just aren't right, you need to stop. You need to halt. You need to stop and look and listen at what's going on. Because sometimes we feel like this. Oh my gosh. So you need to halt. You need to look and listen because you're about ready to cross that street again. You've been there 100 times, maybe more. And you see it coming. But there's that caring. There's that stuff that's going on out there. You know something's not right. You know you shouldn't feel that way. But what is it? I can't tell you what it is. Maybe you don't know either. But keep in mind, the evil one does. He knows what those things are because he threw them down in front of you. He comes at us at our weakest moments. And we may not even realize that they're weak moments for us. He sneaks up behind me all the time. And before I know it, he's got me engulfed, and I'm like, whoa. And I got to be careful because it's easy to get overwhelmed with the being engulfed rather than the, guess what I've got in my pocket? I've got the Word of God. I've got the blood of Jesus. I gave my heart to a king. You are a prince of darkness. Princes answer to kings. We may not realize these moments are our weak moments, but he knows when we're weak. He always does. So it's time to halt. It's time to stop. It's time when those things happen, just take a spiritual, a physical, and a mental check of yourself. I'm not going to ask you to do anything that Jesus didn't do. He did it all the time. He checked himself. Where am I? What's going on? He knew he had to slow down, and at times he knew he had to halt. Let's take a look at what halt really means. When you think you need to halt, take a look at these four things. Halt stands for hungry, angry, lonely, and tired, and those four things will rule your life whether you realize it or not. If these things are going on, you're much more prepared to fight the good fight of faith when you have all of these things in check. And it's easy to not eat, to go hungry. But first, let's take a look at these things individually. Hunger. Hungry, there's 43 Bible verses that talk about hunger and being hungry. And the thing is that there are 75 instances in the Bible when they talk about hungry. Do you ever think about all the times Jesus and his disciples ate? There's a reason for that. Bodies are like cars. They need gas. If there's not enough gas, your car's going to stall out. It's going to leave you stranded. If your car gets the wrong kind of gas, not the right nutrition, it's going to pay, and it will be sluggish. The same thing happens to our bodies. One of the byproducts of being hungry or not having the right nutrition is you won't be thinking right. You're going to think you are. You're going to think everything's going on, but it's not. What I'm saying is, take a look at these things. If something doesn't feel right, take a look at these things. You might not be thinking the right thing for the task that you're doing. Chances are you're going to be irritable, maybe even short-tempered. The same thing happens with us spiritually. If we don't have enough to eat, or we're not ingesting the right kind of food to feed us spiritually, we're not going to be able to make good decisions. And if we're ingesting things that aren't of the Lord, the same thing's going to happen. We're going to start getting sluggish. We're going to start slowing down. We're not going to be able to keep up with all of those things that are coming after us every day. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of the Lord. And that's another thing to do, is take a look at what you're doing. Is that for the glory of the Lord? Or are you kind of getting some stinky thinking that doesn't seem right? It's not really the same thing that I feel when I'm with other believers. So let's move on to anger. There's 56 Bible verses and 480 instances of anger in the Bible. You realize anger is a secondary emotion? It's not a primary emotion. That means it's brought on by something else. anxiety, jealousy, fear, that will bring out anger. Hunger, on the other hand, is a primary emotion. It's just because you haven't eaten. Hunger is usually not brought on by something else that happens in your life. Remember to check these things, what things really feel like. Because you need to be able to go to battle. You need to be able to put on the armor of God. And how are you going to be able to wear the armor of God if you don't have these things taken care of? It's going to be heavy. It's going to be hard. It was like we talked about 2 weeks ago with the voices, those things in our life, those things that we hear telling us to do something. It's saying, time to get mad. That person cut you off in traffic. Give them a hand sign. Get in front of them and slow down. As a matter of fact, get in front of them and slam on your brakes. I see some of you have got it. That happened to me with a guy in Tampa. I was driving down. I was coming home from work. And I worked mid shift, so this was in the morning. And I got off and I'm driving and something happened and I upset this guy next to me. Honest to God, I have no idea what I did. It was two lanes on this side, two lanes on that side. And I could tell the guy got aggressive on me and I knew I had done something wrong. He came out in front of me and he was about a half a block from me and he slammed on his brakes so hard there was smoke coming out of his tires. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what did I do? He was angry. You've got to be careful. Check those things. Your hunger may bring on your anger. We need to check them against something. Check those feelings against something. It's like those voices that you hear, those things that you're doing. How do they stand up against the fruits of the Spirit? Check what you're doing against something. Because we want to know, we want to make sure that no matter what we're doing is righteous. Because what the Bible says is he who does righteous things is righteous. And we're human. We sin. Things happen. I understand that. But if we can prevent them, anger is easily acquired and probably one of the most dangerous of all emotions in the whole program. In life, it's probably one of the most dangerous things is when someone gets angry. I've watched people go from 0 to 60 in a flash. It's one of the most dangerous emotions even in the Bible. Look at what happened when God got angry. He swallowed up thousands of Israelites, which is kind of a cool story because what he did was he told the Israelites, he said, all of you guys, move away from those people because I'm going to swallow them up. And he opened up the earth and they all went because of something. God got angry. What about Cain and Abel? He killed his brother. Anger is a dangerous thing. There's only one instance I know of when Jesus got angry. And it was when he went into the temple. And when he went into the temple, the people were using bad scales. And they were stealing from people. That was the only time I remember Jesus getting angry out of all of the things that was going on. And maybe the reason Jesus didn't get angry is because he understood its destructive nature. Anger can destroy people, they can destroy relationships, they can destroy family. Satan tries to get us angry all the time. And he even did his best to get Jesus angry. But Jesus didn't let him. Anger is not one of the fruits of the Spirit. He says, anger is not. Keep these things in mind. So let's move on to lonely. Lonely, there's 108 Bible verses about lonely. Now, this is a tough one. Because there's a difference between being alone and being lonely. Many times Jesus went away to be alone. Off by himself. Get back to God. Get in touch with his Maker to rest. But one thing the Bible never said was that Jesus was lonely. Lonely is a human emotion. It's not a spiritual emotion. It's something that some people crave, and I've seen it be detrimental to people who feel lonely. Guys, when you have these feelings, first off, realize that they're happening. And there's a book with all the answers. It's all in here. And there's this little application called Google. Open it up and say, Google, what does the Bible say about being lonely? We Google everything else. I learned how to do an entire house with pets. I'd never heard of pets for plumbing before. By going to Google, say, Google, show me how to do it. So why wouldn't we ask Google what the Bible says about being lonely? The thing is I have seen people be so lonely, they bring people into their lives or things into their lives that are detrimental to them. And what I've even seen is people make those things their gods. They put them on a shelf. They put them on a pedestal. Whatever it is. Sometimes they're lonely, so people go out and make money. Sometimes they go out and do things with people, not necessarily the right people. Rather than going to the movies on Tuesday night, they go out here to one of these little places that shows movies that I don't even know where they are. Sometimes people put those other things over their God. Sometimes they put them above their family, above common sense, and above any sense of reason. If you're making a decision, make sure that it's not based upon you being lonely. If it is, I only have one phrase to give you, and it's from Jesus. And this is what he told us. This is the very last thing that he said in Matthew. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to go away. You are not going to be lonely unless you choose to take on that emotion. Because he said, I'm always going to be with you, even till the end of the world. In some Bibles it says, even till the end of the ages. Which to me is well beyond the world. So let's keep moving. Let's go into our next and the last part of our whole program. Tired! 72 Bible verses about being tired. 20 of those are about sleep. God is forever telling us to rest. And if you can't, if you cannot rest, you cannot chill, go to a deserted place to get it done. Rest is so important to us as God's children. He wants us to be rested for two reasons. One of them is so we can enjoy Him. How are we going to enjoy Him if we're sitting there falling asleep? Oh, God, this is such great. I really love being here. Oh, my gosh, I want to be fully awake. It's just like when God knocks on my door. I really don't want Him knocking on the door. I want to keep my door open. So when He comes, He can walk in. He doesn't have to wait for me. I'm hard of hearing. I have hearing aids. What if I don't hear Him knocking? I can't assume He's going to knock harder. I just want to go and open that door and say, just come on. Kind of like being tired. I want to enjoy it. And the other thing is, so we're ready for battle. The warrior that I fight is the one that, the warrior that I want to fight is the one that's most tired. Because he's going to be the one that does not have the most energy. Being tired is one of my strongholds. And something I always have to be aware of. I have severe apnea. lot of times I don't even know what a good night's sleep is, because things are always changing with me. When they did a sleep study, they said I wake up like 120 times an hour, gasping for air. And the thing that I found is I don't always sleep well. Well, let's say 90% of the time I don't sleep well. But the thing is what I believe God is talking about is resting, chilling. Because when I don't sleep, I have a tough day. Because like I said, it's not always about sleep. Sometimes it's about resting. Jesus always found time to rest. I'm not sure anywhere in the Bible, feel free to correct me or tell me, not now, wait till afterwards. But I don't remember them ever talking about Jesus sleeping. But they did talk about him resting. Sometimes when things are going wrong, the best thing to do is find a nice quiet place and rest. Not read, not listen to your earphones, unless they're a way to calm you, and not texting. It's about resting. Maybe even sleeping. Total stoppage so you can deal with what's going on in the world. I want to leave one last thing with you from the book of Philippians. And what Paul says, I know how to get along with humble means. And I also know how to live in prosperity. And in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. That's why I wanted to share hope with you today. I want you to be prepared, and I want you to enjoy the things that Christ has given us every day. And be aware that these things happen. These are normal things that go on with us being here on the earth. We have to take care of ourselves. So this week, what I want you to do is I want you to practice hope in your daily activities. If you come up on a moment and it feels like your emotions are not in check, use hope first. Just start going down through the list. Am I hungry? When was the last time I ate? Yesterday morning was not good. And if it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon or 5 o'clock, eating something quick this morning for breakfast may not be the right thing. Am I angry about something? Why are you angry? What's causing your anger? Deal with that. Like I said, it's a secondary emotion. And that's one of the things I hate doing, is going back and going, what's causing this anger? You know, something happened earlier in the day. Something's going on in my life. The other thing is being lonely. What is that bringing out in me? Am I seeking things that I shouldn't be seeking because I'm lonely? Because as God's children, we know when we're seeking things that we shouldn't. We know when we're in the wrong part of town. There's a young lady that I knew, she's a recovering addict. And what she said was, I can't go into that part of town because that's where my drug dealers are. Those are the people that embrace me. Those are the people that love me. And she talked about being lonely. And she knew that if she went into that part of town, she would have somebody there for her. Somebody there waiting with open arms and a handful of drugs. So she has to keep checking herself and being tired, because I found that that's when we're most vulnerable. We're willing to give in to things. We're willing to allow things to happen that we wouldn't normally allow to happen because we're tired. You ought to see some of my work around the house when I get tired. I don't want you to see my work around the house. when I get tired. But the thing is I have to realize that. I have to realize that I'm tired. I cannot do this right now. I need to rest. Get out of the heat. So this week, practice halt. Stop. And take a look at these things. If you would bring me. Lord Jesus, show us how and when to halt and take a close look at ourselves before we act. Help us to always be loving and kind in all we do. Help us see ways to improve, to be less like us and more like you. Thank you for helping those who are sick. Help us to understand what you meant as we study your word. As always, your will be done. Thank you for blessing this ministry on the Academy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you haven't given your life to the Lord, we want you to take a minute. We want you to think about that. Because there's a lot of things that I shared with you today. There's a lot of protection that goes along with you giving your life to the Lord. Jesus knocks on our doors, waiting for us to open that door. Today's the day. Just say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. We believe if you said that simple prayer, you've been saved. Get into a Bible-based church. Keep coming right back here. And if you are ready to be baptized, let me know. We've got in September, we will be doing a huge baptism ceremony. Awesome. I got it. All right. Let's sing our last song.